Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for who you are, that you reign. Bless this time, Lord, as we talk about these things. Help us to be encouraged, but help us also to understand the times that we live in. May your light shine forth in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard to get discouraged. I know every time the news reports come out, it seems like it's always something negative. Two shootings. It's devastating. It really is. I mean, this stuff used to happen once in a blue moon. Now it seems like it happens monthly, doesn't it? And a girl got abducted here in Lincoln, Nebraska, which my daughter's been locked in her room for the last week. No, she hasn't. I want to, but she won't let me. So what happens when she turns 17, I guess? I don't know. But it's scary. We live in scary times. It's very dark times, very discouraging times for so many people. Well, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles, let's turn there. And again, Peter's talking to a group of people that too are living in dark times. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Now, remember, these are people that are being persecuted. And what he's saying is if you're doing what's good, then generally speaking, people will leave you alone. Now, that's not always the case. We know that. But for the most part, do what you can do to live peaceably with all people. But basically, Peter's saying here. But if you are persecuted, then blessed are you. Happy are you. Seems kind of strange, doesn't it, to be happy about that? That's what Jesus said, right? They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Your Father sees. He knows. He knows what's going on. Now, how does that draw comfort for us? To know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Well, life is not full of joy in this world, is it? Scary. This world's a scary place. For decade after decade, century after century, it always went to the powerful. It always went to the wealthy. It was, basically, if you will, life of the fittest. Evolution, the theory, really is not new in the sense that it really is for the greater to live, the more powerful. In that sense, then there is, again, a nervousness among people, isn't there? That there is nothing good that's happening. But let's not get into that yet. Let's just talk about what Peter's saying to these people. He's telling them to look. Blessed are you. Happy are you. Well, what's going to happen to these people? 6 million Christians are going to die in the centuries coming. This is the beginning. They're going to be tortured. They're going to be burned. They're going to be boiled. They're going to be fed to the lions. They're going to be fed to basically wild gladiators. For sport. They are a joke in the world. A punchline. These are the people that Peter is writing to. Now, I agree, the dark age that we live in now is going to be even darker as we see in the horizon. It's scary out there. It's getting darker and darker as we speak. Christians, again, are being persecuted throughout the world. Not here yet. But it's the reasons that we understand biblically. It's like what Romans says in chapter 8. It says, "For creation was subjected to futility." That word basically means vanity, empty, useless, no purpose. People live without purpose. It's eat, drink, and be merry. It's don't rate on my parade. Let me do what I want to do. Well, that's what we're finding. People are doing what they want to do and they're harming others. We're living in a time right now that, if you will, life has no meaning for people. Especially if you take evolution to its fullest, then again, it is for the swiftest, the most intelligent, the most powerful, the richest. That's evolution. And that's the mindset that you have, then what that brings to the populace, the majority of people, especially, is emptiness. We also are living in lonely days. You know, this is the age of social media, and it has been reported time and again that people are living lonelier lives than they ever have before. They think that they can take a media app and all of a sudden have a lot of friends. But what kind of friends do you have? How do you really connect what you really desire? And that's your soul. Who you are. That people will accept you for who you are. That they understand who you are and accept and love you for who you are. And people are saying, who am I? What's my purpose? Validate me. I'm lonely. I'm hurting. I'm sad and I'm empty. But see, that's not the way it is for us. Because we've discovered something. God has first given us a purpose and a hope. We have a hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And He has now become what? Our best friend. I hope you've discovered that. In the emptiness of all humanity, there's a voice speaking to our hearts. And He desires for us to communicate back to Him. I just was talking to somebody this past week and they were going through a hard time. I said, are you praying? Are you talking to Jesus? Are you just communicating to Him? Are you telling Him what you're going through? Are you mumbling? See, it's a great day and age for me. You know why? Because I mumble a lot. I do. I do it a lot in the car. When I was younger, I used to sing. Oh, don't look at me like that. You did too. But now, what I do is I just talk to the Lord. And what's great about it is people everywhere are just talking in thin air now. They got the earpieces in their ear. And they're talking while they're driving. I feel like a part of them, though. I'm not talking to a person here. I'm talking to Him, just as you are. I found a friend. You have two. Closer than a brother. He says He will never leave me. Never. He'll never forsake me. He says, I am with you always. No matter how dark it gets, I am with you always. Always. Oh, and people are lonely, yes. But we should understand, too, the fellowship of the body, of believers, of us in this together. Talk about that. We do have hope. We do have meaning. And we have purpose. It's also a day and age of shame and guilt. You know, it's interesting how homosexuality especially is being propagated. It's being, you know, explained as an alternative lifestyle. And for so many years it's been oppressed and oppressed. And really this is a day and age of embracing everybody's lifestyle. And what's happening now that this is becoming more and more true in our culture, the suicide rate in the homosexual population is rising. Why? Because there's no hope in that. There's no purpose, no fulfillment in that. There's an emptiness, a loneliness, an aching, a shame, a guilt. And what are they saying? That the pulpits, and this is what they're trying to push, that nobody can say hate speech. Nobody can say anything against homosexuality, against sin, against that which makes you feel guilty, that which makes you feel shame, that which makes you feel judgment. That's sin. It's no greater sin than any sin. That's why we talk about against it, is not because it's so horrific, it's because it's what separates us from God. There's none righteous, no, not one. all have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. But see, for us, we understand that. See, none of us are innocent. None of us are guiltless. We all have guilt in the sense of sin, but we've been cleansed. We've been cleansed by His blood. And that's what Peter is talking about, and he sandwiched both these verses. If you back up in the second chapter, we read these verses, remember? Who Himself bore our sins, verse 24. In His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. See, it's not any greatness in me, it's in the greatness of Him. He paid the price. He has given me freedom, He's given me innocence, not by my own works, but by His righteousness. It was a trade. I traded Him. You know what the trade was? The trade was, you give me your sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. Who wouldn't take that trade? I'm clean. I am considered right before Christ, not because of me, but because of Him who died for me. I have no more guilt nor shame. And next week, Lord willing, we'll talk a little more about that. But see, the world lives in guilt and shame and bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt. That's what the world lives in. What does it also live in? It's filled with fear and anxiety. See this everywhere. People are afraid. People are afraid to go places in public because of what may happen with shootings. Or people are afraid of the diseases that are coming out. People are afraid of cancer. People are afraid of dying. People are afraid of so many different things. People live in fear and anxiety. That's the world. Well, if that is all you have, your breath, your life is all you have, then of course you're going to preserve it. You're going to do whatever you can to preserve your life, even if it means hurting others, even if it means shoving them down to build myself up. To try to take away my fear, my anxiousness, my anxiety. And that's what you see in the world. They'll do whatever they can. And they lash out. And really, if you will, so many of the crimes that happen is because of these things. Of fear and anxiousness, anxiety, desire of hurt and pain. Trying to make something of their lives. Trying. It's just like now so many people are afraid of their kids, and I was making a joke about my daughter, but you do have to be very well aware of your kids. And so many parents are really, if you will, enclosed with this fear and anxiety. But see, for us, we need to understand something. See, because God has told us that don't fear anymore. Don't be dismayed. Don't anxiously look about. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And who is He speaking of? Truly, He's speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is our hope, but it's more than that. It solidifies who we are as people. We're called to something. Something wonderful. Something beautiful. Something amazing. See, the world is going through fear. The world is going through loneliness and anxiousness. The world is going without purpose and meaning. But we all sit here with this, and I hope we've all embraced this truth. That because of Christ Jesus, and Brian alluded to it earlier, is that you've been called. You've been chosen. Here's the beautiful, wonderful thing about it. Not only by name, which is wonderful in itself, that God knows who you are, but so much even more amazing, He chose you before the foundation of the world. that because you're special? No. It's the mystery and the wonder of who God is. God can see past into eternity, and He can see you and me together like right now. Talking about Him. Desiring to live for Him. And see, that's where we understand what it means that He rejoices over us. He's not disappointed in you. Disappointment would mean that He'd be shocked at you. Like, whoa, I can't believe Travis acts that way. That's what we do with our kids sometimes, right? Or how about when you send your kids over to somebody else's house? You're like, oh no. Then they come back and go, oh, your kid was a perfect angel. And you're like, oh yeah, well, that's just good parenting, I tell you. Good job. Way to go. Right? Then you go back and go, why don't you act like that here? And see, that's the way we think sometimes God is with us. No, so far from the truth. Hey gang, your name's written in heaven. It's there. It's up to each one of us to understand really the next thing that Peter is going to tell us. Look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, that word sanctify, it means make holy, to dedicate, to separate, to set apart for God. To set a place for God in my heart. But even a better translation is, but sanctify and dedicate and set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. But see, when he's talking to everybody about what's going to happen, there's going to be persecution. And if you are, blessed are you. Why? Sanctify, set apart, set the Lord who reigns on high in your heart reigning. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. You as His children, set apart the throne of your heart that He reigns on your heart. If you do these things, you will not fear. If you do these things, you will never be lonely. If you do these things, you will never feel empty. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him first. Set Him there on the throne. Don't push Him aside. Don't look elsewhere. He is in you. Let Him reign. Amen. But, yes, this is going to happen, but the one who created all things, the one that has set the world right, is in you. Let Him reign. If you will, don't miss this. Let the lion out. Back in a day, which isn't too hard to imagine what day it was, there was a 12-year-old boy. And this boy was being harassed constantly to join a group of youths. Of youths that were dedicated to a man and to hate. And constantly he refrained. Constantly he took their jokes. Constantly he rebutted. Constantly. And one day they said, do you realize, the leader said, that we have the power to have you killed? And that 12-year-old boy said to them, do you realize that I have the power to die in Christ? Isn't that profound for a 12-year-old? You can kill my body, but you can't kill my soul. You can scar my flesh, but you can't scar my heart. You can rip my guts, but you can't rip my spirit from me. It's in His hands. King's coming! The King is coming. See, everybody's walked in darkness. The Bible tells us, though, that those that were in darkness saw a great light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. All men live in darkness. I have come now to reveal light. Paul goes on to tell us something richer and deeper for us to understand. For this, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, in the face, in the face of Jesus Christ. His face. His wonderful, beautiful face. How do you see His face? It's important. Think about it. Do you see Him as angry at you? Disappointed? Bitter? That's not God. That's not Jesus. Do you see Him as loving? Even joyful? Do you see Him as regal? Do you see Him as King? Do you see Him as friend? Do you see Him as God? Do you see Him? He's the light that's shining out of this dark world. He's the light that shined into our dark hearts, that showed us the way, the truth, life, love. He's the one that paid it all for us. Peter, who understands this better than most, says, let Him reign. Let Him reign. Stop just looking at the throne in heaven. Let it be the throne of your own heart. Let Him reign. Sanctify. Set Him up as Lord of your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter already talked about hope. It was back in his first chapter. Chapter 1. Starting at verse 3, he said this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So, an understanding just what Peter wrote there, is that we have the abundant mercy and the living Christ in us. That we have no fear of death now. But that we have promised to us an inheritance in heaven. So this is not where my riches are. This is not the end of Lucas Covington. This is only the beginning place. This is just the launching pad. This is the place where the rock quarry is. This is where all the chiseling happens. This is where all the rough edges come off. This is where I don't have to leave. I mean, I get to leave Lucas behind here. The sinful Lucas, the carnal Lucas, the Lucas that looks at self, that looks at sin, that is constantly being battled and beaten. No, this isn't where Lucas is going to take with him. No, that stays here and dies. Forever and ever I reign with him. Perfect. You too. Perfect. I'm shedding this skin, baby. There ain't gonna be no heartbreak from me. So understand something, that I do have a living hope, and that there is a dark world in my midst. I have a hope that is living. He reigns. He rose again from the dead. That burial place could not hold him down. He is alive. He's alive forevermore. That's my joy. That's my peace. That's my contentment. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. My wife just went, huh, what? No, what? Sure, what? Oh, you're kidding. I've been sold a bill of goods. Honestly, she knows better than anyone in this room. I'm perfect. But see, here's the beauty of it. The Lucas you see now, it's not the Lucas that's going to still be here. No, see, God's at work in Lucas's heart. He's not done with me. Oh, I have things that I could be ashamed about. Oh, I have things I could be guilty about. But I rest in the fact that the Master Creator, the Master Art Worker, Craftsman, He's at work in me. You too. He is at work. So, it's understanding that light that has now shined in my heart sits on the throne. And when He sits on the throne, guess what happens? Light comes out. It's not, I have to manifest it. I don't have to sit there and wish it to come out. No, see, when Christ reigns, it can't help light shine forth. That's why Jesus said, I am the light, now you're the light. When I reign in your heart, you are the light. Now, before you get too caught up in that, understand, just because you have Christ in you, you are already the light. Oh, but when He reigns on the heart? Ever seen one of those floodlights? It was funny, in California, these always be a big thing. You'd always see them in the skies going like this, shining forth, you guys know. It was always dealerships or whatever trying to get their attention. Hey, come over to our place. To our place. And what a big show happening or whatever. There's those lights, man. They're flooding. Going like that. Not hitting anything. But see, the floodlight that shines forth through us, it's hitting something. It's hitting the Son of God. And it's for all those to see that there's hope. And see, the world needs hope. The world needs a Savior. The world needs a friend. The world needs a King. And so what Peter is saying, that the Lord in this dark world is going to shine forth through you. Be ready. What? To share. Share with the hope that is in you, which is who? Christ Jesus. Why don't you do these things? It's because of Him who reigns. Why don't you talk like this? It's because of He who reigns. Why don't you go to these places? It's because of He who reigns. He's given me hope, purpose. I don't have to be in that mentality of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'm on the camp that says, there is now no more death. It has no more sting. That I have been forgiven. And He's alive. You know how it is. It doesn't take much. It's kind of like the blind guy. You know the story. Jesus comes, this guy that's blind. He's been blind by by birth, you know, since birth. His disciples asked, who sinned, him or his mother? So that was a thought. A child would sin in the womb, they become blind. And Jesus says, neither. It's for the glory of God. And Jesus basically takes some spittle and mud and puts it on his eyes and he says, go wash it out. What happens? He sees. Well, people that know this guy for the longest time is like, wait a minute. How do you see? Huh? Some guy named Jesus made some mud, put mud in my eye, said, go wash it off, I see now. Wait a minute, how can this happen? So they take him to the religious leaders, because they know everything, right? They're like, wait a minute, now tell us what happened, because this is the Sabbath, he shouldn't be making mud, number one. So, what happened? Well, this is what happened. I told me to wash it out, I can see. What do you say about this guy? He's a prophet. Wait a minute, how do we know you were born blind? Where's your parents? Bring your parents in here. Parents come in. Is this your son? Yeah, it's our son. Was he born blind? Yeah, he was born blind. How does he see now? They're like, I don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He's an adult. Ask him. I don't know how he sees. How do you see? I told you. What? Do you want to follow this guy now? We're not going to follow this guy. He's a sinner. He made mud on the Sabbath. He can't be from God. He sinned on the Sabbath. Well, the blind guy says, that's amazing to me. Why? Because, first of all, I was blind, and now I see. So, isn't it true that God does not hear a sinful man to do such a great, wonderful work? You now telling us, the religious people, about God? Get out of here. So then what happened? Jesus finds him. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he that I may? You now see him and hear him. Lord, I believe. Salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house, your house. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, gang, he reigns. No matter the stress or the struggle, the temptations, the failings, the shame, the guilt, he reigns. And he desires just a simple truth, that we would come into the peace and knowledge of understanding of what it means for him to reign in our lives. So that as we go about in this dark world, this very dark world, something is going to happen, which happens constantly. What is it? Have you ever been on a very, very dark night where there's not a star or a moon and then the clouds disappear? And how those stars shine like diamonds in the sky. That's the truth of each of us in this dark, dark world. Just think about these things as we go now before the Lord in the communion service. And while the guys are coming up, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you thanking you for all the benefits that we have now in Christ Jesus. Lord, I just pray for each of us that we would hold these truths to be true in our hearts. Lord, help each of us understand what it means to allow you to reign in our hearts. Help us yield this throne to you willingly and understand that your ways are always best, that you are always at work, that you are never disappointed, never shocked. You never say, oops, you're at work, Lord. And we are blessed because of that. Lord, work in our hearts. Work in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we too would be men and women that can share our faith as simply as saying, once I was blind, now I see. Once I was in darkness, now I see the light. Lord, help us to be ready to share these truths with others as time permits, as the circumstances allow, to be ready and open for the movement of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, I just thank you that you never give up on us. Lord, I just thank you that you never give in on us. Lord, I just thank you that you are continually doing your work in each of us. And for that, we are blessed. We thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all sin. We thank you, Lord, that you again never give up on us and that you walk through this life with us. Never leaving us, never forsaking us, always with us. Shine, Lord, in our hearts. And help us to be with Paul, to understand that each of us, not only are those lights, but to be open, willing to share this truth with others, of taking them from the grasp of the prince of darkness and into your bosom of light and truth. For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For we also have been cleansed. But by the grace of God, thank you, Lord, for this truth. And bless this time of communion. In Jesus' name.